Could you turn, please, to 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5. It is a great joy to be here again and to see you. Excuse me, my throat a little bit sore. Maybe it's the just before we left, or the sore throat, and then the air conditioning, travel, and so on. But we trust you're able to hear us. It's a great joy to see you again, and we pray God will bless us in the camp. And Pastor Paul, when we were talking about this visit, asked that today I would speak upon the subject, what is a Christian? Now, in our own Bible studies on the Lord's Day morning in Grace Free Presbyterian Church, for many months I've been in a study on 1 John. 1 John. And so I thought I would take the comments from this book, from chapter 5. 1 John, of course, was written by the Apostle John. And it was written, and it's amazing that John tells you why he writes. Isn't that a great help? When you read a book, sometimes you wonder, now why was that book written? Well, John tells you why it was written. Now, if you hold your finger there and go back to the Gospel of John a moment. Going back to the Gospel of John. Go back to chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. John recorded the seven miracles. Now, Christ did many more miracles, but he recorded seven. And he tells us why. And he tells us why he wrote the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How God the Son was manifest in human flesh. He records seven miracles. Look at chapter 20 and verse 30. Chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verse 30. And many other signs, that's sign miracles, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John is saying, I'm writing this gospel so that you would believe that Jesus is the promised Christ, he is the Son of God, and that you would believe in him and receive eternal life. That's why the Gospel of John is a wonderful book, to, if you're not saved, to read the Gospel of John. But now when we come to the 1 John, the letter of 1 John, in verse 13 you have the key verse of the book, 1 John 5 and 13. You'll see a similar expression, and this occurs often in 1 John. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. So John is writing the epistle so that you would be absolutely sure, absolutely certain that you are a true believer and you know Christ. A Christian in the biblical sense of the word. If you're reading 1 John, underline the many times the word know, the many times have life, the many times John says, I'm writing this for this reason. So I've asked to speak on what is a Christian. What is a Christian? Well, my wife and I visited the Sea World, I think it's called, the aquarium, the largest in the world. And what a tremendous place that is. There's so many great things you have in Singapore, but this is the first time we visited the aquarium. And you see the variety of the sea life, you see the fantastic colours, the beauty. Absolutely stunning. But as I walked around, I thought to myself, thinking of today, what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who appreciates Singapore Aquarium in a far greater sense than someone who is not a Christian. Do you know that it's only a Christian can truly appreciate the aquarium in a far more wonderful sense than if you're not saved? In other words, if you're not saved here this afternoon, you may be dazzled and amazed, astounded at the exhibits in the aquarium. But you know, if you're not a Christian, you cannot appreciate that visit to the same extent as we who are Christians can appreciate it. I'll come back to that. What is a Christian? Well, that question poses the problem. Because we live in the world today where that term is misunderstood and misrepresented. Some people have the idea, the British Isles, oh, that's a Christian country. No, it's not. Far from it. Or some might say, oh, America, that's a Christian country. And those from outside the world come and they see the sin and the immorality and they say, is that Christianity? What is a Christian? What is a Christian? There's a problem here. And it gets even more confusing because John was writing his epistle to the early church and what he's saying is this in 1 John. Listen, believers, you who are truly Christian, men are coming and they're claiming to be Christian ministers and teachers, but they're not. They're false. Do not listen to them. They went out from us, for they're not of us. They're teaching a different message. They're not really Christian, though they claim to be. That surprises people. I thought, well, sure, anybody claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Not at all. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, and he warned, and this is the early church, that there are men who come and they preach Christ, but it's another Christ. It's another gospel. Peter in 2 Peter 2 warned about false teachers. Jude wrote in his epistle, beware, there are men who are preaching and they're not truly Christian at all in the biblical sense of the word. Now, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, do you know what he said? In the day of judgment, many shall say, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I perform many miracles in your name? And my mind automatically goes, I'm sure you know of it here in Singapore too, we have it in Northern Ireland, America. Many of the televangelists, not all, some are godly men, but some with their signs and their wonders and their great claims of miracles. And in the day of judgment, there'll be many will say, Lord, we were Christians, we preached about Christ, we even cast out miracles in Christ's name. The Lord will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. So it gets confusing then. There's a problem here. We need to define what we mean. What is a Christian? And I want to talk about what the Bible says a Christian is. Not what the church says. Not what society says. Not what an individual says. What is a Christian? According to God's Word. That's the question. Well, if I look at 1 John 5, we can say some things about what a Christian is. Verse 1, whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. To be a Christian, you need to be born. Now, that doesn't mean you're born in a Christian country or born because your parents are Christians. It's talking about a new birth. A religious man in John 3, the Gospel of John, came to Christ. He was wondering how to get to heaven. And Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. What does that mean? You see, because we are descended from Adam and we sang about him, when Adam sinned, the human race fell. And our minds no longer know God, our emotions we no longer love God, and with our will we no longer desire to obey God. And the Bible calls that dead. The Bible speaks about she is dead while she lives in pleasure. You know, you can be walking about, living, enjoying the pleasures of life, and yet be dead. It means we do not have that relationship with Almighty God. We don't know Him. We're separated from Him because of our sins. And in order to be a true Christian, you need a miracle. You know, becoming a Christian is a miracle. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. Nicodemus said, did I become a child again? And be born all? No, no, no. The Lord said, no, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. You need the new birth. It's called in Scripture a resurrection or a regeneration. You're made alive. Paul wrote to people in Ephesians and he said, you were once dead in sins, but you're made alive. You remember Lazarus was in the grave. You read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Christ came and he spoke and he said, Lazarus, arise. He got new physical life. Being a Christian is a miracle where God breathes into an individual spiritual life. That's a Christian. It's called in Scripture, this birth, it's a new creation. At the beginning of creation, God created matter. It was without form, darkness, and then God spoke. And the Spirit of God moved, and life and light came. In the New Testament, Paul says that's what it is to be a Christian. We who are believers, what happened? God, the Holy Spirit, shone the light of His Word into our darkened mind, and we were born of God. Born again. But look again at this verse. It says in verse 1, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, do you notice Christ is not a name? Now, we often refer to Christ and we use it as a name, but it's not. Jesus is His name. When He was born, He was given the name Jesus, which was a common name in those days. There are other people in the Bible called Jesus. Joshua is exactly the same name as Jesus, just a different spelling in the different language, one Hebrew, one Greek. So God's Son took a human name at His birth, but Christ is a title. He is the anointed, the promised one, the special one who was promised from the very beginning of creation. You have to believe. Becoming a Christian is a matter of believing, more than mental intellect. It's relying upon. But let's look further. Verse 11. What is a Christian? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Can you see that? You've got life. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What is a Christian? What makes a Christian different than someone who's not a Christian? Born of God. Believes that Jesus is the Christ. Has eternal life. So in this meeting today, and there's some of you I don't know, so let me presume for a moment that there's some here and you are not a Christian. You do not know Christ as your Savior. You've never been born again. You do not believe that Jesus is the Christ in the sense of relying upon Him as your only hope. Here's another distinction that sets us apart between those who are Christian and those who are not. A Christian has eternal life. A non-saved person, a non-Christian, does not have eternal life. Now, we need to explain that a bit. Because, you know, often when you use the term eternal life, you know what people think? Oh, that means when I die physically, I will receive eternal life and live forever. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is not eternal life. Because look what it says here in verse 13. That ye may know that ye have, right now, at this moment, John is talking about a type of life that's different than what we're born with. He is talking about a divine life. You either have eternal life right now, or you don't. You know, when we witness to people in Northern Ireland, there's some, when you tell them that you can know that you have Christ, you can know that you have heaven when you leave this scene of time. Oh no, you can't know that. You have to do the best you can. If your good works outweigh your bad. You don't read that in the Bible. That's not what this passage is saying. John is saying right now, at this moment, a Christian is someone who knows, absolutely certain, that you have eternal life. Not pie in the sky when you die by and by. That's what the critics would say in our country. You Christians just look for the future. No! Right now, in the nasty now and now life, you either have or have eternal life. So we need to think about that. Now, all of us will exist forever. All of us will exist forever. There was a time when you and I were not. There never will be a time when we will cease to be. The question is, do we have eternal life or not? Now, we're all going to die physically. But if you already have eternal life, well, that physical death, you will just keep going on forever and ever. Experience that eternal life that commences when you receive Christ. By the way, in our own church, some months ago when we started 1 John, I spoke to the boys and girls that morning, and I brought in a long wire. It was an aerial type of wire, electrical wire, and I had it in the pulpit. And I put it down over the pulpit. And I had the wire running around, go like this. And I had it going out the door. And I got some of the men to put it down the corridor towards the hall. And I said to the boys and girls, and of course older listening, I want you to imagine that wire goes on out through the door, round the world, away out into space, the solar system, and away, way, way through other solar system and never ends. Can you imagine a wire that never ends? Then I said this, I want you to imagine that's your life. That's your life. Because there was a time when you and I were not, but there never will be a time we'll cease to be. You know, that wire represents every one of us, our life. And then at the end of the wire, I picked it up and had a tiny bit painted red. And I said, you see that red bit? Just that tiny bit? Think of that's your time upon this earth. It seems like a long time when you're young. But that's your time upon earth. And what you do with Christ in this tiny bit determines the rest of your existence, heaven or hell. And what we're saying here is a Christian is someone in this tiny bit of when we're here upon earth has believed in Christ, has been born again, and has received eternal life now. And therefore, when they reach physical death, it'll be on to be with Christ in a closer way. Turn to 1 John 1 verse 2. It might explain a little bit better what eternal life is. The first chapter of 1st Epistle of John. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you, note, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He's talking about Christ. Go back to 1 John 5. Look at the end of verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Eternal life is not some commodity you get when you die physically. Eternal life is a person. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who's born of God. A Christian is someone who has believed and keeps on believing that Jesus is the promised Christ. A Christian is someone who has received eternal life in Christ. It's not as if Christ gives you eternal life. He is eternal life. So a Christian is someone who within them resides the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important. What is a Christian? Here's the problem. I'm saying there's confusion. So that shows us Christianity. This Christian is someone who, of course, believes in Christianity. That Christianity is not a code of conduct. There are people who think, oh, becoming a Christian, I'll follow the Ten Commandments, I'll follow the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, those are good teachings, important. That is not what makes a Christian. A Christian is not like other religions. You just decide to start a code of conduct. Christianity is not a creed. Yes, there are important doctrines about Christ, but Christianity is not adhering to a creed. Oh, I believe such and such doctrines. You see, some religions you can just say a few words and make a profession and you're looked upon as in that religion. No. Christianity is not a code of conduct. It's not a creed. It's not a cause. There are people today think Christianity, oh, you're a cause for justice and for peace. And no, no. And Christianity is not a set of ceremonies. It's not some man dressing up in robes and going through certain ceremonies. That's not Christianity. Christianity here is Christ. You believe Jesus is the... Just look at that in your Bible again to enforce that. Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Look at verse 5. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the important truth. Now what does that mean? You say, well, I believe that. Do you? You see, that word Christ takes you back to the Old Testament, where Adam and Eve in the garden learned that the seed of woman would come someday. There was going to be a special deliverer who would be born in a different way than every other human being. He would not have a human father. He'd be the born the seed of woman. And then the scripture progressed. It was revealed he would be descended from Abraham. He would be descended from David. There were various prophecies given, and the prophecy was he will come and he will atone for sin. You see, here is the difference between Christianity and every other religion. Many religions in this world, they teach there's a deity or deities. And some teach that the deity is angry, must be appeased. Propitiated is the word that's used. And therefore I have to come and do the best I can, and I have to sacrifice, and I have to give, and I have to pray properly, and I have to do this and that, and if I give enough, and if I sacrifice enough, maybe God will overlook my sins. And if I give Him enough and be good enough, oh, the possibility is that God will do good to me. And some people think Christianity is like that. That's not Christianity. True biblical Christianity is different because it's all about Christ. And we sang this afternoon, the grace of God. What's grace? God giving us what we do not deserve. Here's the basis of Christianity. It's a great truth called justification, that we are declared righteous before God, not by what we do, but what Christ has done. This is what makes Christianity different. Christianity is not about what we do. It's all about what Jesus the Christ has done. He is the Son of God. He's not just an ordinary man. He's not just a great prophet like prophets of other religions. He's God. But here's what grace means. Yes, God is pure, God is righteous, God is so good that He cannot look upon sin. We cannot come before God because we're sinners. We cannot get into heaven because we're sinners. And there's nothing we can do to atone for one sin. But here's the good news of grace. God the Son covenanted that He would come to earth and that He would become the sacrifice for our sin. That's grace. We didn't deserve it. We can do nothing to deserve it. But in Bethlehem, God the Son became a man and He took into Himself a human body and a human nature, and He went to Calvary, and there on the cross He laid down His life, and in those 3 hours of darkness, listen, here's the gospel. God laid on Him my hell. You see, if you're a Christian here this afternoon and I was to ask you, how do you expect to be in heaven? How do you know that your sins are taken away? How do you know you can stand righteous before God as if you'd never sinned? Because there in Calvary, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, He bore our hell. Yes. What we would have to suffer forever in hell, He bore it. He took it. And the gospel is not what we do. to try and atone before God. The gospel is this: Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, has done it all. Has done it all. That's what makes Christianity different. A Christian is someone born of God. A Christian is someone who believes. A Christian is someone who has Christ. Has Christ. Let me hurry on to the proof. If you say, well, prove this. Prove it. Well, John does. Because look down here in verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, by not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Because the Spirit is truth. John takes you to a courtroom. You see, someone who's not a Christian would come and say, you say that Jesus of Nazareth is actually God? Yes, we do. That's why we worship him this morning. He's God, not just a man. Remember what I said? There's some claim to be Christians and they don't believe he's God. They're not Christians at all. There's some ministers in my country and they stand on the pulpit, call themselves Christians, and yet they don't really believe that Christ is God. Well, they're not Christian. They're imposters. You say to me, do you really believe Jesus Christ is God? Yes. Do you really believe that he is the promised Christ? Yes. Prove it. All right, John says, I'll prove it. Well, what's the evidence? Well, you go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, the evidence of the disciples. Because he said there, that which was from the beginning, that's Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and we've handled of the word of life. He says, listen, I and the other disciples were with him for 3 years. We know he's the Christ. We know he's God. We saw him transfigured. We saw him walk on the water. We saw him feed the 5,000. We saw him raise the dead. He is Christ. But then John takes three witnesses, as it were. So here's the accusation. Who is Jesus Christ? And this is so important as whether you're a Christian or not. You think about this. There's a question in the Bible. What think ye of Christ? There's another question. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now there's a question every one of us have to answer. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? What will you do this afternoon? Neutral you can't be. If you say, I just don't want to think about this question of who Jesus Christ is, well, you've already rejected. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? That is the key question. I remember getting a leaflet through my door one Christmas. There was no name on it. And it was some man trying to say Jesus of Nazareth never existed. Well, how foolish. How foolish. Of course he existed. But the question is he God? Is he just like Muhammad or some other great prophet? No. He's unique. He's not simply a great teacher. He's not simply a great prophet. He's not simply a man who gave ethical, moral teachings that may be advantageous if you follow those teachings. No, he said himself he didn't come to be a teacher. He said, I came to do the Father's will, and it was for this hour. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear those 3.5 years with his disciples? He said, I come into this world to go to Calvary. I come into this world to suffer, to be scourged, to be spat upon, to be slain. You see, it was for those hours on Calvary that he came into the world. And you know what's interesting? You know, when John wrote his gospel of those 21 chapters, more than half of the gospel is taken up with his last week on earth. Why? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to suffer on Calvary. That's the key to Christianity. He's more than a prophet. Now, one day, Christ asked his disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered for the rest, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you believe that this afternoon? Can you truthfully say, "I believe Jesus Christ"? He's not simply another great teacher. He's not just a founder of a world religion by the loving things he taught. But he's God, the promised one. Well, that's the accusation. Is he or is he not? Well, here's the evidence. And he gives three of them. By the way, from verse 6 to 11, you've got 10 times the words testify or record. It's the same word in the original. Same word in the original. Now, there are three witnesses here. You can see them there in verse 6. Three witnesses. Under the Jewish law, there had to be two or three witnesses. So here's the case for Christ. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. What's that talking about? There's some scholars say it's talking about water and the blood has the idea of baptism and the Lord's table. No, it's nothing to do with that. Because the Lord's table is bread as well. I believe quite simply what is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came by water. What does that mean? For 30 years, yes, he was the promised Christ. Yes, he's God in human flesh. But for 30 years, he lived in obscurity. Oh, sinless. But at age 30, the same age when a man entered the official priesthood, he burst on the scene with a miracle at the marriage of Cana. But just before that, there was a great event, his baptism. His baptism. And publicly before the crowd, John the Baptist baptized him. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven, Almighty God spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God spoke. A miracle. And then the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And that was the commencement. The commencement of the Savior's public ministry. So you can include there the commencement. We know Jesus is the Christ because we have recorded the miracles. That's why John said seven miracles are recorded. They're there. He did heal the lame, caused the blind to see, raised the dead. He's God. He's God in human flesh. What about the blood? That's the culmination of his ministry. That's why he came into the world. The miracles proved who he was, and then he died. The shedding of his blood. We sang about it. Now you think about Calvary. God witnessed at the cross that this was not an ordinary crucifixion. Do you know history records there were 30,000 other Jewish men crucified? Do any of you know any of their names? Any other Jewish man was crucified? History says there were 30,000. We all know the name Jesus the Christ. Why? His death was unique. John is saying, "I can prove to you Jesus is the Christ because of the way he died." And John witnessed his death. And the centurion, who was a pagan Roman, what did he say when he saw Christ die? "Truly this was the Son of God." What did the dying thief testify? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Many chief priests believed after the crucifixion, we're told in the book of Acts. You see, that day when Christ was crucified, there were miracles happened. The whole earth shook. The veil was rent in the temple from the top to the bottom. We read there was darkness over the face of the earth. God gave great miracles to show the Savior's death. Ah, but you take the Old Testament scriptures. It speaks in verse 6 about the Spirit. The Spirit of God inspired. That means worked through men to write the Old Testament. And this is just, it's undeniable. People that go into the odds of certain things happening, it's just to the billionth or trillionth degree. At Calvary, the experts say there were at least 100 definite prophecies fulfilled when Jesus Christ died. Now, we're not talking about some fortune teller, some horoscope saying, "Oh, you're going to have a good day or a good year." It was prophesied in Isaiah 53, "He would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. His body would be laid in a rich man's grave." It was prophesied in Psalm 22 that the soldiers would gamble for his garment. It's prophesied that his hands and feet would be pierced before crucifixion was known. It was prophesied his back would be smitten. It was prophesied that spit in his face. I could go on and on and on. Exact prophecies made hundreds of years before. John is laying out the evidence. He's laying out the evidence. The Holy Spirit. Now, there's the proof. It's undeniable. Jesus Christ is not another great teacher. And here's the verdict that you have to make. Christianity, Jesus Christ, the question as to whether you're a Christian or not, is not some minor question. It is not some subject, take it or leave it. It's not some, like, going to a buffet. Oh, I'd like some of that. No, I'd like some of the egg. I would like some of the sausages. I would like some of this or that. I'll just decide what you want. No. This is the important matter. Because if Jesus Christ is God, who came to this earth to provide salvation, the question of what you will do with Christ is the most important question that you will ever have to answer in your life. Have you answered it yet? Can you say this afternoon, I know I'm a Christian because I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, believe, of course, means more. Oh, I believe intellectually. It means to rely upon. It means to place your weight upon. It means to trust. Are you trusting that God accepts you as righteous? That God has pardoned your sins because of what Christ did? That's the question. Faith. What is faith? Well, tomorrow those going to the camp are going to have faith on the plane. I wonder, will we appoint some of the camp leaders to go and look at the pilot's credentials before we get on? Now, did you pass your flying test? I don't think they'd be too pleased, would they? We exercise faith. And what we're saying this morning is, in a far greater sense, the evidence is there. Christianity is different than all other religions because it's about a person. And it's about your relationship with this person. And he is the Son of God. He's not just a man. And the Bible teaches at the end of time, who will every person stand before? No matter what religion people adhere to, do you know every individual who ever lived will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Everyone. Because God the Father hath committed all judgment into his hand. Think of it. Every individual ever born, when we stand before that throne of judgment, it'll be Christ. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, will be the judge. Do you know him today? Have you trusted in him? One more brief thing. When I think of this, what is a Christian? Yes, there's the problem. What is it? We've tried to define it. There is the proof. You can know. And when Christian, when you begin to doubt, don't be looking at yourself. Look to Christ again. Think of what he did on Calvary. But there's a great peace in being a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has peace with God. They're not striving to earn merit with God. It's sad that in some religions of the world, even as we are here, sitting in this room, there are people and they're trying and they're trying and they're trying to earn merit with God. I think of the true story of a missionary in a certain part of India back in the 1800s. They saw a lady, she had a disabled son, and the son who was perfect physically. And she went towards one of the holy rivers, and she came back without one of the sons. He said, what have you done? Oh, I have sacrificed my child to the God. One of the gods. The missionary, Christian missionary, was horrified. Then he asked her a question. Why did you sacrifice by throwing the physically well child into the river to be drowned to try and appease your gods. Oh, we only give the best to our gods. We only give the best to our gods. How sad. How sad. But you see, that is not the God of Scripture. The God of the Bible isn't asking you to try and earn your way to heaven. And when you're a Christian, you have peace. Peace with God. My sins are taken away. They're gone. We've sung about it this morning. What a wonderful peace it is to know when you put your head on the pillow at night that if you leave this world, you'll go straight to be with the Lord. And there's no record against your sins. Wonderful. Wonderful peace of God. Wonderful peace. It's a tremendous thing. But not only do you have peace with God, you have the peace of God day by day. It's wonderful to be a Christian. Wonderful. Because listen, when you're a Christian, what did I say eternal life was? Christ. He that has the Son has life. When you're a Christian, you have Christ. It's a relationship. Christ within you, the hope of glory, one verse says. You know what that means? He gives you grace for the disappointments of life. By the way, all this health and wealth teaching supposedly Christianity is nonsense. In this world you'll have tribulation, Christ said of his followers. But the difference in a Christian is this. When you go through those disappointing times, and we will be disappointed in life, God gives you grace. He not only gives you grace for the disappointments of life, because Christ is there with you, he'll give you strength for the trials of life. Whatever trial comes into your life, Christ is there to strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know a Christian is someone when they face the trials of life, you don't face them alone. If I had, let's say, 100 Singapore dollars for every time in my ministry I heard this from a Christian when they were facing the death of a loved one or some illness, or they'd just been told by the doctor that a terminal illness and just a few months to live. If I was given $100 for every time I heard a Christian saying this, I think I'd be a millionaire. You know what I've heard Christians say over and over again? Pastor, I do not know how those who are not Christians can face this. I don't know how a non-Christian can face this. What's my answer? I don't either. Oh, but isn't it wonderful to know you're a Christian? And whether it's the death of a loved one or the illness of a loved one or your own terminal illness, you have Christ. Just before we left Northern Ireland, there was a dear lady we'd been praying for, she and her family. We know them so well. Johnny, her husband, would have carried on a lot of electrical work in our church and in our own house where we live. And it was just about 6 months ago when Jill, 33-year-old mother of two, a teacher at her school, she collapsed. She felt her stomach was swollen for some time, didn't know what it was. She was a great keep fit person. And they discovered a form of cancer. But oh, what a testimony she gave. Oh, what peace. What a wonderful peace. She had got her testimony written out that was read at the funeral. It was actually carried in a paper which they taught in a quite prestigious school, and the headmaster and so on paid tribute to her. 33, out into eternity. You say, yes, it's sad, that's tragic. That's because we live in a sinful world. And these things happen to Christian and non-Christian. But the difference is, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone, as Jill testified, had the presence of Christ with her. It does make a difference being a Christian. What is a Christian? You've got the presence of God with you. Grace for the trials of life. You have strength for the trials of life. Grace for the disappointments of life. And you have hope for the end of life. What a blessed hope. What a blessed hope. Now, I just finish with this. Have you thought yet what I meant when I said only a Christian can really appreciate Singapore Aquarium. It's only a Christian can truly appreciate it. Oh, an unsaved, maybe scientist would know a lot more about fish than I do. And he could say, oh, listen, you know, I could tell you all about the name of this fish and all about it. Yes, he can experience the pleasure of academic study. But you see, as we walked around that aquarium, as a Christian, here's how we could experience it. The one who created all that sea life. Remember, John the Apostle wrote in John chapter 1, without him was not anything made that was made. Listen, when you go and visit the aquarium, maybe you've never been, if you look at those exhibits, say to yourself, my Saviour made that fish. My Saviour created it to be that way. My Saviour created the colours on it. My Saviour actually watches over it, but there's not a bird falls to the ground without him. And the one who created the magnificent variety and beauty of the sea life is the same God who created the planets, the immensity. And there we are, a tiny planet Earth. And there we are, a tiny, tiny, what will we call ourselves, speck on this Earth. And yet the God who created all this set his love upon me. And he loved me so much. And if you're a Christian, you can say this today, that this great Creator loved me so much that one day he left heaven's glory and came to earth and became a man. Man just like us. He suffered pain. He wept at the grave. Suffered rejection. And he went all the way to that cross. And yes, he suffered just as we suffer. And yet he willingly, voluntarily took those nails. Took the whipping. Took the scoffs. And even in those 3 hours of darkness, it's as if he said, Father, for Ron Johnson to escape hell and escape the wrath and the justice that he deserves, and I do deserve it, and so do you, because we've all sinned against our Creator. But yet Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, as it were, said, Father, I'll take the punishment that Ron Johnson deserves. Punish me in his place. And so as we looked at those exhibits, I could say, thank you, Saviour, that you made all these things for your own glory, for your people's pleasure, and that you set our love upon us. Are you a Christian? Do you know him as your Saviour? I trust if you don't, you'll come to know him. Amen.